Are you ready for a treat? The gentleman that's going to be speaking here this evening, I just hold him such high esteem. You know, we don't even realize, all of us, when we're here. We're feeling so, I actually feel very safe in our country. And yet, if it wasn't for a lot of men like our speaker tonight that's out there working to keep us safe, all not getting great big praise in the headlines, but out there keeping us safe by learning and understanding what are might be called enemies, what they're doing, you know, what they're all about out there, what they would like to do. Oh, Steve, you're going to enjoy this tonight. All this that's going on out there that we don't know about. We're over here going, la, 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 you know, everything fine. And the prices of vinegar is going up every year. I just can't understand it. And we get into all of that. But people like our speaker this evening is out there working behind the lines. 3 or 3.5 years in the green zone of Baghdad. And do you know who else I hold in high esteem? His most precious, wonderful wife called Kim, they will love each other forever. And she parted with him and didn't complain. She just knew God would keep him safe and bring him home because she loves him and he loves her. So I really think this is pretty grand when we have people like that out there working so we can go to sleep at night. Realize that? And our speaker this evening, calm, smiling, gentle, intelligent, wonderful man in my estimation. And this is our Craig.
Thank you. First of all, thanking the Holy Father, thanking Jesus, thanking all of our angels and all of our friends and family who have known us from before time itself, who have loved us and walked with us in our journey to God. Thanking all of them. Tonight is about thank you. And it's about how I survived. How I survived the war, how I survived daily. That's what tonight's all about. John 6:10-14, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who came to save the world." You know, I see this as a thank you miracle. And it's fascinating to me in that it starts out with thank you. That's how it begins. And I've had these amazing experiences. Now, before I share these with you, I want to tell you, please, these experiences happened to me and happened near me, I think is a testimony that God needed a witness. I am truly less than all of you here. I have been blessed to witness things that I still am trying to sort out in my own mind. And one example of that is about 7 years ago, my niece was to give birth to a little baby girl. Now, what very few people in the family didn't know is my niece had a terrible drug problem. And this little baby, who was, as all babies, God's blessing, came into the world in a motel of all places. I didn't even know she was pregnant, to be honest with you, relative to my niece. Or that she had a serious methamphetamine addiction. Well, You know, I am married to a wonderful woman, an amazing wife, and an incredible mother. When she found out about this, she said, you know, we're going to fix this, Colonel Hendricks said to me. I said, okay. And through just the way a mother does things, she sort of maneuvered in with my niece and my nephew, who was also a meth addict. And in no time, in just a few minutes, talked him into letting us have this baby. As strange as this might sound, but it's not so strange if you know meth addicts. So we got walking home with a baby, of all things, that was very ill. She was born a month premature. Not unusual, given the facts. And, of course, she was born, I guess she had a meth addiction herself. And she really didn't look well at all. She looked very sick. And it was at that point in my life I was confronted with seeing a baby who was trying to survive. And I'd never really seen that before, how hard it is for babies, newborn babies, to survive. Just being able to breathe is an effort for them. And then here this little baby was, you know, just struggling to survive. And Kim said to me, she says, I don't know how, I don't know why, but that little baby came into this world to save those two people. Okay. In the meantime, we're going to take care of this baby. So we took her to our doctor. Our doctor said, don't you worry about it. He said, we're going to, miracles happen. You love this baby and you feed this baby and miracles happen. Don't worry about it. So, you know, there's all, about that point, we got into the legal process where we really took the child from them. And indeed, we took their other children from them too, because they were clearly incapable of taking care of their children. Now, that the flip side, the good side of the story that has nothing to do with this thank you miracle is that that drove them into drug rehab. And to this day, it's 7 years later, they're still sober. So, Tori did come into this world, and she actually did drive them in to, she helped perform that miracle that got them into a sober life. Well, so it's about a month later, and Tori has settled into our lives, and you have to know my wife, Millie knows my wife. She is going to manage everything. She's going to take care of this baby. So we had books, and though we had children that were grown up at this point, we had these books on their physiological development. We had other books on their neurological development. We had all kinds of amazing books, and we had charts. And Kim was weighing this baby twice a day. She was going to heal this baby. She was going to give it love. We all were. The whole family was. Even her dog was giving this baby love. So, it's a few days. And it was one of those beautiful, beautiful Saturdays that San Diego has, you know. Perfect temperature. And in the house I've got a little house. The breeze flows east to west through the house, and it was just the perfect temperature. And I had this baby, I laid down on the couch, and I had this baby on my chest. And there she was, just struggling to breathe. You know, it's a month later, she's still having a hard time. She's still underweight, but we're watching it. My wife is watching it, and we're feeding her. All the children were underweight, actually. All the children seemed to be underdeveloped. But, you know, there we were. They were at least in a stable household. They were getting the nutrition they needed. They were getting the emotional nutrition they needed. And as I was laying there, everything was so perfect, so incredibly perfect. I said, thank you, God, because it was perfect. I had no idea what would happen to me over the next 7 years. But I knew at that moment in time, I had to say, thank you, God. There wasn't, and I think there was a lesson for me in that. There was no thought to that. There was no additional thought. There was just, thank you, God. There was the perfectness of that moment. And I'm probably too analytic in life, so I wasn't thinking about it. And I was just being. And I honestly don't believe I got in God's way, because I've had a tendency in my life to do that. I'm pretty good about that. All of a sudden, there was like this electricity that rolled through my body, and I could feel it go into this baby. What on earth is that? That's incredible. I jumped up. I ran, holding this little tiny baby. I ran into Kim. I said, Kim, this is the weirdest thing has ever happened to me. I just got an electric charge. This is weird. I said, it went into this baby. I wonder if this baby's been healed. And that was just an offhand thought. How could I explain this little electric charge that went through me? I don't know. Well, that baby started gaining weight. On all of our charts that my wife had put together for neurological analysis, physiological analysis, over the next several weeks, we actually watched this baby, and the other children too, as a matter of fact, start going up to where they were now above the average for what their age should have been. So there was no doubt in my mind. This girl got healed. We now had, and her color came back, you know. Not that she had good color to begin with, but she really was looking healthy, like a wonderful little baby. She's a perfect baby. You know, the kind we all want to have. I think God wasn't going to, I think, this is conjecture on my part, so you know I'm thinking too much again. God knew she came into the world to help her two parents, and he wasn't going to let her go. So she's special. Well, it's now, today, 7 years later. She is a beautiful, she's been to church, she's a precocious, she's exceptionally bright. There's no question she's brighter than the rest of that family. No question about it. And she is everything you would want in a seven-year-old. Now, what does that mean? About a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. Oh, and the children all were returned by the courts to their parents because they were sober. Though, quite honestly, three of the children we now take care of at least 3 to 5 days out of the week. My wife is tutoring them. It's also a way for us to keep a good eye on that young family and make sure things don't go wrong, you know. In fact, I'm sure they sometimes feel like it's a pair of eagles sitting over rodents, you know, because we're pretty conscientious about it. Well, so little Tori, she's got her homework she's supposed to do. She's got to do some reading. She's a very good reader. Well, I got home from work, and Kim said, well, you need to read for Uncle Craig. Tori said, I really don't feel like reading. No, you can do it. You've got to do your homework anyway. Well, I really don't want to do my homework, the seven-year-old says to Auntie Kim. Kim says, no, you're going to do it. She goes, no, I won't do it. She goes, I don't think so. And then about that time, little Tori, our little perfect seven-year-old, let out a howl and a screech like was just, I had never heard out of all my older children. It was amazing. We had a temper tantrum on our hands, and it was a good one. She just stood there screaming. She wasn't going to do it. So I walked over. I picked her up very carefully, and I walked over and set her on the Lazy Boy, which is my chair. But that's the chair she gets to use when she is reading. So I sat her down there. Oh, the screaming didn't stop. It was spectacular. I was a little bit taken back by it, to be honest with you. And I looked at my wife. My wife looked at me, clearly puzzled as to what this was all about. And when I turned back around to look at Tori, she was upside down in a lazy chair and still screaming. I looked back at my wife and I said, like, can you believe this is happening? I looked at Tori and she is sitting now sideways on the lazy boy. And she's trying to rock this thing back and forth and she is refusing to read. She's just screaming. This is amazing. I looked at my wife again. I looked at Tori and she's now upside down. What? This is incredible. I thought, what do you do? I thought, okay, I'm not going to reward her with a negative. I'm not going to reward negative behavior. So I sat there and I watched her. Kim sat there and watched her. You guys remember that movie, The Exorcist? Yeah. You know, where the little girl sits bolt upright and her head spins around? Well, she didn't do that. Thank you, God. You know, she didn't do that. It was really amazing. But she did everything short of that. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. It just stopped. And she picked up the book. And she started reading. Every now and then a slight sob, but she read. She got her 15 minutes of reading out of the way. And I didn't say another word about it. I got what I wanted. Kim said later on when she went into her room, Tori was in her room playing with something. Kim said, well, that was a little ridiculous, don't you think? And Tori looked up at her and said, yes, that was ridiculous. You know? And at that moment, I mean, it just bubbled out of me. Thank you, God. I really did have a perfect little 7-year-old that I knew all along. You know what that was? That perfect little 7-year-old is, she's doing what we all do. We have this amazing journey that we're on. We get confronted by things that we like or we don't like. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. And at the end of the day, we sit there and go, well, I guess that was ridiculous. And then we go forward, you know. And if we're lucky, if we're fortunate, and I have been incredibly lucky and fortunate in my life, you know, you discover that through the whole course of it, that if it hadn't been for the thanking God the entire time, you know, the journey would have been profoundly diminished. Now, thanking God, I thank God for Tori every day to this day. I thank God for my orders when I get shipped overseas. I can't tell you, every day I would wake up and I would thank God for that moment. When the sun would come up over Baghdad, it can be incredibly beautiful. And I would thank God for that. I would thank God for a great cup of Pete's coffee. At the end of the day, I would say, thank you, God. It's another day. My friends and I are still here. We're here doing the things that we want to do to help other people. And really, I found out, and it all stemmed from that moment in time where I learned what thank you was so important. I think when I say thank you, God, I hold on, in a way, I hold on to God's finger. And then I just continue my little walk through life and through journeys. No matter what happens around me, it has enriched me profoundly. Now, there's that one miracle, and there are too many others that I could recount, that I know all hinge on the fact that I start out each minute of my day, I try to start out each minute of my day, literally, with thank you, God. I would suggest and I would encourage that if that your days will be enriched beyond measure if when you wake up in the morning you say, thank you, God. Your day will become richer. Richer than you can imagine. The opportunities will be richer than you can imagine. And in that, I want to thank God for being here tonight and having the opportunity to share this with you. Now, I do have, believe it or not, a little bit of homework you guys might do. I have an email address. Any of you that choose to do this, to start this process of saying, and I know you probably all do it, but want to connect your thank you gods and see the miracles that start happening around you, I will give you my email address. And please write me and share with me your stories on the changes that take place in your life just because of thank you, God. And we'll call them the thank you miracles. Okay? So thank you very much.
How about that? Did he fill our cup? Yes. I've seen that little girl and she is delightful. She's just delightful. She adores him. Isn't it nice when you can reach out? It's all he, that's what they did. They reached out, didn't they? They reached out and took her home. I'm so concerned about our drug users. Where the little babies have to be with them. They can't get away unless somebody comes in and picks them up and takes them home. And I think sometimes God does that. This time God used Craig and his wife to pick that baby up and take it home. And then to have him over there in that war zone and seeing all of those little children so mistreated, just think what that must have been like for his heartstrings. Did you feel like picking them all up and bringing them home?
Of course you did.
Couldn't do it.
Well, you know, it was the whole country. I got to tell you, all of America deserves a thank you for what we have done for that country over there. Regardless of all of the politics of America, one of the blessings that I received, one of the profound blessings, was a moment of insight. This is the first time that country, this is the first time that country was overrun in 1258 by an army that murdered, slaughtered everybody. So the geographic place has been enslaved since then. I am convinced, and this is an intuitive thing, that the armies that went from me, and it was the entire earth, was involved. I mean, I saw troops from Tonga, from Mongolia, from all of Europe. Troops were from all over the world that went in there to help free that country. And it is a free country now, and they're having elections. And none of us ever anticipated that that country would be a Jeffersonian type of democracy. It was going to be an Iraqi democracy. And that's okay. It's free will. It's their choice. It's their beginning their journey. But I'm convinced all of the troops that went there, and there was 150,000. That was about the size of Baghdad. I'm convinced that everybody who went there, there's a very sizable proportion, were the children of Baghdad in 1258 that went home to free their homeland. I'm convinced of that as I am standing here saying, thank you, God. And it is thank you, God, for freeing that country. And thank you, America, every one of you, because you all helped. Everybody helped to free that country. That is what America is about. So, that's it.
First-hand information. See, we don't get information right over here. That's first-hand information. Only, and the speaker next week is Dan Hare. And don't you think this is interesting in this big, big world? That Dan and Craig got together over there.
Yeah.
Dan went over with a group of reporters, Dan Hare, and they just happened to have some time together over there, right?
Bumped into each other.
Yeah. And my fun story about Dan Hare is he emailed me and said, he woke up in Hussein's castle. And another email, he tells me that he just got to spend time with Craig. Is that fun in that big world? That two of our loved ones got to meet over there like that? I think God might have had a hand in that, don't you?